Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of the Armchair Survivalist. Today is August 11th in the year 2019, and my name is Kurt Wilson, and I am the Armchair Survivalist. I'm also the owner of SurvivalEnterprises.com, Survival Enterprises, and I've been running that business now for about 35 years. A lot of you out there are my customers and have been buying from us, and we have a lot of interesting products here. The majority of them are health products, but we do have a lot of oddball stuff. And we're closing out various products so we can pay more attention, put more attention onto the health products. If you go to SE1.us, on the left-hand side of the page, you will see links, and one of them says water filters. You click on that, that'll take you to a page, and then you click on the word Aquacera. That takes you to the page that has the gravity-fed water purification systems we've sold for 20 years. At first, we sold the British Birkfeld, then the Berkey, then the Dalton, and then Dalton separated off to the American side, which was Aquacera. And now we're closing those out. But regardless, so we have certain units left. We don't have a lot of them. When they're gone, they're gone. On the left-hand side of that page, any page on SE1.us, you'll see down at the bottom of the links, you'll see these two little red lights flashing, and it says on sale. Click on that, and that'll take you to our page that shows you what we're blowing off, what we're getting rid of, what we're closing out. And there's three of them on there right now. And the first is the Sierra Wave Solar Collector. It's a 10-watt system that folds up, looks like a briefcase. It says click here to see this deal. You can click on it. You can read about this thing. It's totally cool. Totally cool. And then below that, you have Grow Your Own Chili Peppers. For those of you who no longer have tongues, yeah, they go from 1 million Scoville heat units to 2 million. The Ghost Chili Pepper, which actually you can taste. Scorpion Pepper, Moruga Scorpion Pepper. They come in little cans, and you just follow the instructions, and these things grow, and they are so cool. A hint, though, when you harvest them, wear rubber gloves and a mask. And then below that, you have specialty heirloom seeds in a can. Now, these are sealed in number 10 cans for long-term storage. There's well over 12,000 seeds in this can, and there's 13 different variations in there of onions and peppers and tomatoes, and just different ones, and some hot peppers in there as well, and they're sealed individually in Mylar bags. So that's SE1.us, water filters, and on sale. I wanted to get some information. I just got this, so I got to get this out to you right now. Jeffrey Epstein magically committed suicide this morning in a suicide watch cell. Now, who's Jeffrey Epstein? He's a financier. He's best friends with all the elitist Democrats in the United States and royalty all over the world. And all of the people, they're all of his friends, and they all get in his plane, his special plane. That's called the Lolita Express. Why? Because he's well known as a sex trafficker in underage children, both boys and girls. He has his own little island where he flies people like Bill and Hillary Clinton numerous dozens of times. And they go there and they do things that nobody knows about. And then they come back. The government, not the deep state, because the deep state is protecting him, but Trump's people have been working hard in the Department of Justice to put him away. And they got him on a charge of statutory rape. So they had him in jail waiting for a trial. And to make a long story short, I don't want to do the whole scenario on who he was. He sort of died in a cell. He was on suicide watch. And magically enough, the cameras went down at a certain time, and they're estimating between 6 and 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, Saturday. And he sort of hung himself in a jail that had nowhere to hang you from and nothing to hang himself with. But the information is scarce right now. So we're going to find out exactly how this guy committed suicide while he was on suicide watch. But magically enough also, his criminal charges have disappeared because, well, you can't charge somebody who's dead. I have in my hands an interesting legal memo. This is case 18-2868, document 286. United States District Court, Southern District of New York. And this is a case against the madam that worked with Jeffrey, getting him the underage girls and boys. And she's being sued. And this is discovery. And I have this. And I have it as a PDF. And I would be more than happy to post it on my show note page. If you go to armchairsurvivalist.com, you will see on the left-hand side different links. And one of them says show notes. You click on that, and that'll take you to a page of show notes. Now, what it is basically it's a page of my shows for that current year in a chronological order. And you click on either one you want, any of them you want, and it'll take you to that individual page that gives you the source for each of the things that I've talked about on the show. So I will have this PDF in my show notes coming up this week. Now, I have all my show notes are current as of now, and they will be updated as soon as possible in the coming weeks. So you can look at this Epstein case, which, again, they're going to have to get rid of. But there's going to be civil cases against Epstein and he's supposed to be a billionaire, millionaire, trillionaire. Nobody knows for sure. But there's going to be a lot of cases against his trust or what's left of his whole estates, everything. We'll find out. And I'll come out with you guys later and let you know on that. So let's get into the show. And we're going to do the economy first. Now, if I sound kind of strange, it's because I had to break down and buy some other equipment. See, last week, and I apologize for this, I'm using this surplus East German radio equipment that picked up at a yard sale, and it's not working right. And between recording all my show last week and uploading it to the engineer, Todd, something zigged when it should have zagged, and I lost about 30 minutes. So my show last week was barely an hour and a half. And I really apologize about that. I got a phone call from Todd. He was all freaking out. He goes, "My God, I got dead air. What the hell are you doing?" So I'll try not to let that happen again, okay? Well, anyway, so I had to buy some new equipment. And I'm still getting used to the microphone. And I have other things coming. So it just, you know, bear with me. Let's see. Number one, well, Trump's really upset about China. And who isn't, really? Because China pretty much owns the United States economy. It's astounding because we've actually never had a war with China. Usually, the country that controls our economy is one that we beat the snot out of in a war and then used our funds and rebuilt them. Well, China, let's face it, if China stopped sending us stuff, Walmart be out of business, Target would be out of business. The majority of business in the United States would be out of business. China also, what they do is, if you dare to come out with a new product, China would just simply copy it within 24 hours and sell it on eBay at one-tenth the cost of what it costs you to even manufacture it. This is what China's been doing for 20, 30, even 40 years now. They find something they want, they copy it, and then they sell it cheap. And what are we going to do? You're going to bitch at a communist government and say, have your people stop screwing us? No. That's how China is getting rich. So Trump got upset about that. So he says, we're going to raise tariffs on you guys. We're going to make you pay, or make your customers pay, like Walmart. They're going to be paying 10 to 25% of whatever they bring in. China said, well, if you're going to do that, we're just going to stop buying agricultural goods from you. Well, first, when I heard that, I'm thinking to myself, okay, what is there, 9 billion screaming Chinese over there, and they can't grow enough food to feed the starving people as it is, so they're going to say they're not going to buy our food that we're exporting? Well, Trump said, okay, no problem. We're going to designate you a currency manipulator. That is a country that lowers the value of their money so that their products can be bought cheaper. It's a lot of strange and confusing economic higgly-piggly. But when you're designated a currency manipulator, it's like one step above being a terrorist nation. So we'll see how this plays out. But Trump doesn't, he's a businessman, so he knows how to do this kind of stuff. So we'll see what happens. Meanwhile, here, now business is being destroyed all over the world. Let's just talk about the United States. The internet is destroying business. Never mind China, just the internet. Well, about 6-7 years ago, we were the second largest emergency food supplier in the United States. And then the internet started getting more and more known and better used and easier to use. So the manufacturers went directly to the public. And so we had to shut down. Because one of the rules here we have is that if we're selling a product that is somebody else is selling cheaper, I don't mean a nickel, I mean dollars cheaper than we are, then we're ethically bound to send you to them. So we ended up having to send anybody who came in for food, we're going to say, well, you don't buy ours because it's cheaper over here. It's cheaper on this website. That's what happened to us. It's happened to many other stores in the United States too. Walgreens, within 3 miles, there's two of them here in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. Walgreens is going to close over 200 U.S. stores. Now, here's how this game works. These are all big corporations, so they have to appease their shareholders. So the way they work is they say, we're going to close 10 to 15% of our stores so we can monitor our economics a lot closer and change our cost to expenses and all of this stuff. And it's all garbage. What they're saying is, we're going out of business and we'll just try and pretend we're staying in business as long as possible so our employees don't quit en masse and walk out. Walgreens comes out and says they're going to be closing over 200 stores. And then one that really hurt me, Pizza Hut. Pizza Hut's going to close over 500 locations in the United States. Now, Pizza Hut's gone basically to hell. About 2012, they changed their ingredients and how they made their crust. They used to make their crust in store. And now it's all bought, just like everybody else, just like Domino's. So they still make good food. It tastes good, but it's just not as healthy as it used to be. So we got Walgreens and Pizza Hut going out of business. And this is just the tip of the iceberg. Just the tip of the iceberg. All right, let's get into food and health. We, not far from where I am in North Idaho, is a city called Hamilton, Montana. Some years back, there was a big hoo-ha because the Centers for Disease Control and the Department of Defense wanted to open up a testing laboratory in that area. Testing for what? Oh, I don't know. For weaponized gonorrhea or weaponized bacteria, viruses. It's a testing laboratory. And they lied and said, of course, it's just for the medical community, just so we can better protect the people. But when the Department of Defense is involved with it, you know better. So they opened this place, and they promised that it had top-notch security and everything's going to be enclosed, and you never have to worry about a leak. Well, sure as hell, a few years later, a seal broke somewhere, and a bunch of poisonous stuff got shipped somewhere else, and it just, it was really bad. People didn't die, as far as we know, but they closed that lab down. Of course, I'm sure they opened another one up covertly this time. Well, the CDC just shut down another lab because they were working on Ebola. Now, let's say that they have these little test vials of Ebola. You know what Ebola is, right? It kills you within like 12 hours. So you got this Ebola and these bacterium, and you're testing in a test tube, and at the end of the day, you got this tray full of used test tubes and petri dishes, and your assistant comes in and says, "Okay, I'll clean them all." Goes into the bathroom, hot soapy water cleans them, and flushes it all down the drain. That's what's happening at this lab. So, the plague, Ebola, there's various things that kind of destroyed 2/3 of the human race at one time, is getting flushed down into the wastewater. Yeah. Okay. up here in North Idaho, we're having forest fires. Big, nasty stuff. Not as bad as it was a few years ago, but it is nothing at all compared to what's happening in Siberia. And I don't know if you guys know about this. There's not a lot of information. In fact, none in the mainstream media. Siberia is known as the lungs of the world because there's so much growing stuff that we're talking millions of acres. There's so much growth there that it actually creates a massive amount of oxygen for the world. So far, there's been over, 13.1 million hectares have burned. Now, what is a hectare? Hectare is 2.47 acres. So we're looking at almost 30 million acres have burned. Think about that for a second. 30 million. That's just screwed up the whole climate change and global warming and all of this mankind causes crap. Speaking of climate change, the whole concept of climate change we know is hogwash. And NASA has known this since 1958. Now, see, what I mean by climate change is the psychosis of the liberals and socialists and communists come out and say cow farts are destroying the ozone layer, or mankind is so overturning the ecological aspect of the earth that it's destroying the earth, or any number of these things. Well, there was a Serbian astrophysicist named Mulikan Milikanovic, and he developed a theory relating to Earth's motion and long-term climate change. He was born in 1879, and he graduated from Vienna Institute of Technology in 1904. So this is not anything new. But he come up, as opposed to the Democrats, he used logic and science. And he discovered that the Earth's orbital eccentricity, is the shape of the orbit around the sun, and the angle that the Earth basically aims or creates or comes into position is pretty much one of the things that causes the climate to change on Earth. And he proved and shown that with orbital variations, this is what happens. This is why you have climate change. This is 100 years ago. Okay, now, well, as you all know, that I have different categories. As you know, I have different categories. Economy, health and food, Islam, liberal psychosis. You call that part specializing in Democrats, socialist, communism. Trump. And it just depends. Government threat is a new one. That's just because it's becoming more and more obvious we're suffering under that. But I have different categories. So right now, we're in Islam. Not too much. See, the thing with Islam and Muslims is that they do the same thing. They rape, they murder, they cut people, they blow people up, they rape people. It's nothing special. It's only when something special pops up that I make note of it. And this, I've been doing some research on the FBI crime statistics. 1% of the U.S. population is Muslim. Now, when I say Muslim, I'm not talking about converts. I'm not talking about the blacks that hate whites so much that they don't even want the quote-unquote white religion, so they become Muslim. I'm talking about these third world POSs that come to this country. If we're Middle East, Somalia, it doesn't matter. 1% of the U.S. population is made up of Muslims. 20% of the inmates in all federal prison are Muslims. These are just innate criminality. Now, that's federal. When you start getting into states, the statistics go up worse than that. Now, we go to Sweden. Now, Sweden, we know it's lost. It's we knew that last year. They're gone. There's no longer Sweden. There's billboards in Somalia advertising, come to Sweden and have all of the blonde white girls you want. Well, the media in Sweden is now there's rapes. There's 100 rapes a day in Sweden, all over the place. There's this. It's astounding that the men have become nothing more than soy boys, and too afraid to do anything whatsoever to defend their women. And I'm talking Sweden. See, I'm talking Sweden. I'm not talking America. I'm talking Sweden. The newspapers there. A woman was raped by 10 men. And most of them videoed it on their phone. You know how they do that now. And the media, well, they got caught, but the media refuses to report on them, refuses to describe them, refuses to say it was Muslims. I wonder if that'll ever get to that point here in the United States. I just wondering. Okay, now we got to get into the worst liberal psychosis I've seen in a long time. Last week, there were two shootings. There was one in El Paso. And then immediately, a few hours later, there was one in Dayton, Ohio. Now, I'll be doing a whole other show on false flags. What a false flag is. But these are both false flags. I'm not saying people didn't die. I'm saying that the people that performed these heinous crimes are not just Joe Schmuck off the street. And there's so much wrongness there that, but we're, I don't know how, this is a major cover-up. The El Paso Walmart shooter. Okay, so he goes in and he kills about 20 people. I think it was maybe 22, I don't remember. But the thing that I'm looking at is the fact that, and I was watching, I watched it live. I watched the live recording of the reporters. And they're interviewing people who say they saw three or four armed men dressed in black enter the store and start shooting. There's a lot of variables that aren't real. There's something going on here. The picture of the guy who went into the store, because he's on camera, he's wearing different pants than the picture of the guy that they arrested. There are questions about the El Paso shooting that are not going to get answered. Do you know what happens in a shooting like this? The FBI takes over everything, and the next thing you know, they either burn the place down or they bulldoze it all down, because they do not want anybody finding out the truth. So there's five or seven questions here. If there's only one shooting, why do so many eyewitnesses claim multiple shooters? And then on number two, why did the local police, and I saw this, why did they arrest three suspects and hold them in custody? And the so-called manifesto popped up where the guy was railing against Mexicans and Democrats. And first off, it's discovered, and not by our media, because our media they're part of the plan. They're part of the problem. It was the truth was discovered by deep state organizations like 4chan and 8chan. These are entities. These are groups of thousands of people who don't like the government. And they get together and they do research. The manifesto that popped up wasn't written by him. It was written by somebody who was a lot more coherent and a lot more knowledgeable about what was going on. This shooter, both shooters, turned out they're avowed socialists. So they vote Democrat. Both of them are anti-gun. Both of them want to be members of Antifa. Because I'm talking, when I say both, I mean El Paso and Dayton. Now, and here's the other thing. He killed 20 people and he wounded 30 more, but he only used one magazine of 30 rounds. And yeah, you know, I know bullets go through people, hit somebody else. He killed 20 people and wounded 30 more with a single magazine. So, and according to what popped up on some of the social media that's supposedly from him, he knew this was a suicide mission. And if this is a suicide mission, why are you wearing ear protection and eye protection? Well, because he knew he was going to survive. Here's the biggest giveaway. All of his online profiles were modified to change his political bent from Democrat to Republican. Somebody got in there. Now, how is somebody supposed to get in there without his password? Well, it wasn't just his. This is how it happens. They change everything. Whoever they are, they change everything. And this guy, he turned himself in. He held his hands up and said, I'm the shooter. Take me away. And he claims that... Now, first off, the media, of course, lied for the first 48 hours and said, this is a right winger. He's a Trump guy. All of this BS, all of this crap, these lies. Turned out he was triggered. This is what he tells the FBI. I was triggered because of the Democrat debate, and they all said they wanted to give free health care to illegals. You get it? Okay, this is what he said. You can't believe any of this stuff, though. If it is this guy, he's a hardcore communist. Hardcore. And he said he would vote for Elizabeth Warren, who turns around and blamed Trump for this shooting. The sad thing is there are enough people out here that would vote for her. And the second mass shooter in Dayton, this is just as weird. He drove to the club and got out and started shooting. There's so much that's not right. He was... this guy was for gun control. He praised Satan. He supported Warren, again. He was a wannabe Antifa member. He praised communism. Now, this is all coming from social media and from friends of his who were interviewed, who said point blank, guy's pro gun control. He hates guns. Well, he also had other classmates that said that he had a hit list and a rape list. He had a list of people he wanted to kill and a list of girls he wanted to rape. There's even pictures of this guy at an Antifa rally with the rifle that he used during this. Now, here's a weird thing that popped up. I don't know if you guys know who Hal Turner is. Hal Turner was a undercover agent for the FBI, and he was he pretended he was a white racist. Then he got arrested for some other stuff, and now he's out again, and he's got his website back, halturnerradioshow.com. And it turns out this guy, the Dayton shooter, Connor D. Betts, seems to have died in Connecticut in 2014. I'm looking at the obituary from Carmen Community Funeral Homes, and I back-checked this for validity, and it's real. There's a picture of the guy on the obituary, which talks about his sister. I don't get it, but it's right there. I'll have all of this stuff up posted sometime next week. The shooting, I don't really want to get into the hard part of it. I don't want to get into the forensics because it's still being performed. But you can bet your butt the communists, and I interchange the word Democrat for communist easily because you can't tell the difference. The communists are screaming for gun control now. And I watched three separate talking head shows where you had a Republican and a Democrat, and the Democrats is frothing at the mouth for gun control, and the Republican goes, okay, what exactly would have stopped these two shooters? Tell me what law. Well, if we banned assault weapons, well, there's about 2.5 million of these so-called assault weapons out in the United States. So if we banned them now, what do we do with those 2.5 million? Well, we have to get a mandatory confiscation. Okay, so you're saying you want to start the second Civil War. Well, then we'll have a gun buyback. They have no clue. They have no clue. But what they got, and this is a thing that you'd all better be watching out for. They're called red flag laws. And what they are is if a family member or an authority figure, or in some cases, just some guy, thinks that you have a gun and you're dangerous, he just calls the police come and take your guns away and arrest you right now. No ifs, ands, or buts. This is called a red flag. So if somebody throws up a red flag on you, like somebody calls the police and says, hey, Fred has a fully automatic shotgun, and he's threatened to kill children in a daycare next door to him. Boom. Police come up, show up, take his guns. And majority of the time, they also arrest you and hold you on a 72-hour psych hold. These are red flag laws that are going into Congress, and they're going in every state. The communists know that they're not going to win federally, so they also push this on every state. Be aware. Now, we're in Idaho, which doesn't make us any safer than anyone else, because the last governor we had here was a rhino. I don't even know what's happening with this governor, but I do know that the cities and counties within the state of Idaho have been taken over by liberals. We have a guy in this Coeur d'Alene. He owns pretty much half of Coeur d'Alene. And he owns the Coeur d'Alene Press. And I just had a poor guy come in here yesterday into the store in Hayden. And he's trying to sell me advertising on this weekly paper that's going to come out from the Coeur d'Alene Press. It's called the Coeur Voice. In other words, this paper is being promoted as the voice of Coeur d'Alene. So he wants me to advertise in it. It's a small little piece of paper. You know, it's like maybe 4 pages, 6 pages. So he gives me a copy of it. On the front page is this Muslim guy saying how proud he is that he was able to move to a place in the United States that is so open-minded that him and his husband were married here and are going to make their lives here. The owner is called Hagedone. This is the guy that owns the newspaper and a bunch of other things here in town. And it's just slowly turning into a liberal cesspool. It's just, I'm warning anybody who's listening now, don't move up here. I don't care where you're from. This place is turning into a liberal cesspool. So we talked to the guy for about an hour and explained to him what was going on and showed him some things. And he's like, I think I'm going to find another job. So be careful. Be aware. And I hate to say this, but I'm going to. We've lost America. America's gone now. It no longer exists, both figuratively and theoretically. All we have are what's within our own hearts and minds, individually. There's very few places in America that's actually could conform to the reality of America as we knew it at one time. I hate to say that, but that's the truth. And it's just getting worse and worse and worse. They have to destroy anything that's white, male, or Christian, or American, or all of the above. And they do that daily. They attack Christianity daily. And when I say they, I mean the groups that hate reality. And these would be Democrats, socialists, communists, the UN. And I've seen a list with over 800 agencies or organizations that are doing this. They want to dilute or invalidate anything that's American. Now, when I say American, I mean, look at the Founding Fathers. Look at the concepts of honor, of pride. You're not handed pride. It's not a punch card you get when you turn 10. It's something you earn. So you have respect for yourself because of what you've done, not because your seventh grade teacher says you should be proud that you're alive or some such crap. Anyway, so instantly we start getting all over Twitter and a few other places, you start getting people screaming for gun control. And there was the majority of this is make-believe. It's, you take 20 people with a phone, and these 20 people start calling everybody around. They just call down these lists, and that you think all of a sudden it's a big push to achieve something, whatever it is. It's not. It's just these 20 people and somebody with enough money to pay them. The same thing on the internet. Something called spam bots. These are programs that can create phony accounts, like on Twitter, and then have these phony accounts start pushing some concept. Like this latest one was gun control now. Control. No T, not gun control. So it's a missing T. And then all of a sudden you're going to notice there's 10,000 accounts pushing gun control. The Democrats do this all the time. There are contractors out there, and I've had these people visit my chat room. There are contractors out there who hire trolls, who go into, they're given a list and websites, and each one of these trolls have their own pattern. This is how they talk, how they speak, how they type, what words they use. They're trained in how to discover the buttons that people will react to. And they're paid, and they're sent into chat rooms. They're sent into Twitter. They're sent into Facebook. They're not real. I mean, they're real. They're just some schmuck making a salary. He's hired by an independent contractor, or directly by usually the federal government doesn't hire him directly. They hire an independent contractor. And I have a list of about 12 different contractors that hire these trolls. And then they put him in a boiler room, it's called. It's a room that's just has like 20, 30, 40, 50 computer systems in it, or phones in it, or whatever. And that's what this is. This is just another attempt by whoever's hiring this contractor to put this crap out. Well, let's see. Trump has a lot of problems with Baltimore. Let's see, Baltimore is very proud now. Let's see, so far this year they've had 200 homicides. Isn't that cool? Only 200 homicides. Let's see, Chicago, 52 shot, 10 killed in one weekend. And that's not a mass shooting. In fact, it was so bad in Chicago that the hospital stopped accepting gunshot victims. Because they were overwhelmed. They had no room for anyone else. Let's see. Well, this is... I don't care about this. Chicago is just toast. They've had almost, 386 murders so far this year, or shootings so far this year, and 252 people have died. This is Chicago. That's just Chicago. Now, in the FBI crime statistics report, there's some data that came up. And of course, the Democrats will never look at it, ever. Even if they look at it, they won't see it. And even if they looked at it and saw it, they won't say anything about it, because it would blow all of their push. According to the Democrats, socialists, communists, biggest danger in the United States are white people right now. White people are doing all the shooting. White people are killing us. White people are this and that. FBI crime reports, 51% of mass shooters. Now, what's a mass shooter? Mass shooter is where four or more people die in a single shooting. 51% of mass shooters were black. 29% were white. 100% of mass shooters lean to the left. Democrats, communists, or socialists. There were no Republicans. I have a list, and it'll be on the show notes page at armchairsurvivalist.com for this show, which is August 11th. Here's all the mass shootings that happened in 2019. They're only talking about guns now. California, some gangbanger typical POS that shouldn't even have been in a country, stabbed and killed 4 people and wounded 2 more. And then he got caught by the police. See, the problem we have is that all respect, courtesy, and consideration have been wiped out by the communists in the United States. I mean, simple. You have no more respect for somebody. It's not violent games. It's not guns. Hell, I've played violent games on the internet. I played violent games when I was 5 years old. Bang, bang. Cowboys and Indians. Okinawa. Playing war. Any idiot can tell the difference between reality and a game. So that's what's known as a fallacious argument. Total phony argument. But that's what you hear. You have no respect for other people. You have no consideration or empathy for what they feel, whether it's emotional or physical. Black-on-black crime is the most massive level of shooting on earth. And I've seen videos you will never see. I've seen videos where a guy walks up to a kid. This kid's 10 years old. And the guy says something to him. The kid says, "No, I don't want any part of this." And the guy pulls out a gun and shoots him twice in his leg. And then just calmly walks off. And he was caught by the police afterwards. And he goes, what's the big problem? I didn't kill him. This is what's happening in the United States. This is what's happening everywhere. What was happening in the United States. There will be a swing for the other side very, very soon. People are allowing this to get out. People are allowing other people to get away with it. I don't. If somebody pulls some kind of crap like that on me or anyone around me, I handle it right now. I don't allow it. But it's got to the point where these communists, millennials, these leftists, progressives, I don't care what word that you use, they have been so emboldened by the years of Clinton and the abomination that they think they can get away with anything. And their excuse is, well, I didn't hurt anyone. I just wanted to make a point. In fact, here's a little clip on a moron who just wanted to make a point.
The man tells me he had no intention of causing any harm or alarm to anyone, and it wasn't intended as a joke, more as a political statement against the sale of certain firearms.
I was in the Walmart importing Lucy, and I just spoke my mind.
Phil Addy now admits that might not have been the best way to make a point, asking a Walmart clerk Wednesday night if they could sell him a gun that would kill 200 people. He insists he wasn't serious, and he's a gun violence prevention activist.
And I'm in a Walmart just a few days after El Paso, and I'm seeing a white nationalist-looking guy purchase a gun, and I got mad.
Port St. Lucie police got alarmed when they found out from the clerk and a store customer.
I think we're in a day and age now where you can't take any comment like that lightly. And we encourage people to bring anything to our attention.
Police say they've already talked with Addy, a Martin County High School graduate who now lives in Washington, D.C.
This is just me. This is the power of an individual, not an organization, not a political campaign, but just the power of an individual to stand up and say no more.
Port St. Lucie police say they haven't charged Phil Addy in this, but they also have not entirely ruled it out. They also ask that anyone who ever hears anything like this to let them know about it right away.
Okay, so now we've addressed the psychosis that Democrats have on guns and firearms and covered as much as I could or was willing to on these 2 shootings that we've had. Now let's get into the typical liberal psychosis. Mitch McConnell had a bunch of millennials come out to his house at middle of the night and stand outside and prance around and threaten to kill him and stick a knife in his blankety-blank heart. And, of course, none of them got arrested because that's not what the government's for. It's free speech, don't you know? Some years ago, I was a master gunsmith for 25 years, and we were in Modesto, California. Now, Modesto, California, there's a lot of migrants there. There's a lot of illegal aliens there. A lot. More so now than there was in 98 when I left. But I had a big gun shop on a corner of 8th and K Street. The junior high school which was like 90% illegal alien, was about half a mile from my store. Now, none of them messed with me at all. None of them did any of their gang graffiti or anything on my walls because they knew that I wouldn't allow it. We don't need to go any further than that. Anyway, I got a phone call one day from the principal, and he said, "Mr. Wilson, there's going to be a march. It was Cinco de Mayo. There's going to be a march of children, and they're going to be coming by your store. So I just wanted to let you know that." And I said, "Why would you tell me?" He goes, "Just never mind. I'm just telling you." Now this guy has bought firearms from us, so he was basically giving us a heads up. I'm watching the news, and the news is filming this thing. Now they're just leaving the school. There were over 1,000. Only a part of them were children. The rest of them were, I don't know where the hell they come from, but they were illegal aliens. They weren't carrying an American flag. They were carrying a Mexican flag. They were chanting slogans in Spanish. And they had organizers walking with them. This was a very well-organized march to put the fear of Mexican into all us evil white guys. So it's simple. They can march all they want. I don't really care. They block the whole street, though. This is 8th Street. They blocked the whole street as they marched. They wouldn't let traffic through. So my brother and I both took a Remington 870 shotgun, loaded it, stood outside our doors, him on one side, me on the other, with the guns cradled in our arms, and just stood there while they come down the street. It was like the parting of the Red Sea. The first time one of them looked and saw us standing there with weapons in our hands, they all quieted down and got on the other side of the street and slowly marched past us. And then once they got past, they never said nothing. You know, they didn't say anything. They just marched. And then when they got past us, they got past K Street, they spread out again and started chanting stuff in Spanish. The point I'm making is that if you take this crap, they're going to keep giving this crap. Speaking about crap, Kavanaugh, even though he was put in the Supreme Court, the communists in charge of the Congress now, they're not done with him. He can't be there. He cannot be there. And they said that point blank. He cannot be there. So we're going to make sure he can't be there. So they're still going after him. The House Judiciary is still going after him. They asked the National Archives Tuesday to release documents from Justice Kavanaugh's service in George W. Bush White House, and more. And they keep doing this. They're drilling, drilling, and drilling, trying to find anything, any way, shape, or form. This is a thing with them: is that they have to invalidate, and destroy, and lie. Well, this is what they do: is lie, and they and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But they've been doing it now very well for 100 years, is that it? Since the Democrats created the Ku Klux Klan, since the Democrats created the whole concept of slavery, since the Democrats created welfare, and since the Democrats refused to allow any of the blacks in the United States to leave the plantation, they've been passing lies off. And unfortunately, if somebody walks up to most people and says, "I'm going to tell you a lie, but I want you to believe it. Here's $100. They'll say, "Okay." Or they'll walk up and say, "There's this program that I can put you on, which would give you a place to live, food, all the necessities, and $1,000 a month. All you have to do is vote for me or anyone like me." And too many people have said, "Sure." Anyway, so they stood outside Mitch's, and nothing happened, unfortunately. And nothing's going to happen, at least there. You know, none of that stuff happens up here in North Idaho. I don't know. I don't understand. They claim that we're all racist and homophobic and this and that and the other thing, but they don't come up here to rub our faces in it. I don't understand that. Those of you who have Skype and you use it for international calls, and Skype has this program, and this is so cute. Skype has this program that you can click on and you can call somebody in a foreign nation, a foreign country, and they can talk in their language and you'll understand them in yours. They have a translator on there, which is good because the NSA was given full control and backdoor access from Microsoft. So they listen to the calls. And if you use translator and you think you're getting away with something, you're not. You know, Skype will be listening. And I know I talked earlier about pedophile problem with Jeffrey Epstein. Now, we have that with the Boy Scouts, and this is well known. When I was a kid in the Boy Scouts, we had a scoutmaster who came in, and he only lasted about a month, and then he got the holy snot beat out of him, and then he was no longer a scoutmaster. Us kids didn't quite understand it, and it was never explained to us. Years later, it was when I was told the guy was a pedophile and he was also a homosexual, and that's what most homosexuals are, or if given the chance, they want underage children. Well, the Boy Scouts, unfortunately, were taken over by pedophiles, and this is some years back, and it got to the point where they started allowing sexual perverts as scoutmasters. This is astounding. Yes, your new scoutmaster is going. He's a queer, or a transvestite, or whatever. And that was bad enough. And then they said, "Well, you know what? It's carte blanche. Any sexual pervert that wants in the Boy Scouts can come in, either as a scoutmaster or as a Boy Scout. In fact, let's let girls come in too." So the Boy Scouts opened the doors on sexual perversion. I pulled all my funding from the Boy Scouts 10 years ago. And now guys are coming forward saying, yeah, I was abused by a scoutmaster. Here's his name. This is when it happened. It's gotten so bad that Boy Scouts actually have a whole series of lawyers handling this. Yeah. Well, let's see. There's a professor paid by our taxes, New York. And he claims that grades are capitalism in action. Get rid of grades because it's not fair. People have their emotions stained and harmed because they're given a grade lower than the guy next to them. That's not fair. Everybody should get an A, or there should be no grades. You know, when I was a kid, there was this liberal named Dr. Spock. And I'm not talking about Star Trek. I'm talking about this guy he's a psychiatrist, Dr. Spock. And he came out with this book that said, don't punish the children. His whole thing was, don't punish them. Never, ever, ever punish your children. And there's more to it than that. But what happened then was there was a whole thousands and thousands and thousands of children grew up never having limits, never knowing right from wrong, pure entitlement. So now we have, speaking of entitlement, we have these same parents who are basically parentally retarded, raise their children, and these children are what you would call millennials now. And they're checking them to see emotionally how they do and what's happening in their lives, what's going on with them. You know, do you have any friends? What do you do for fun? Do you have any thoughts of suicide? So about 23% of millennials say they have no friends. Now, here's why. Because millennials are the poster children for the people who are so engrossed in their cell phone that as they walk across the street, they get killed by a bus. Or they're so engrossed in their cell phone that they take a selfie in the edge of the Grand Canyon with their brand new wife and they both fall to their death 600 feet down. So what happens is these millennials have their heads shoved up their phone most of their life, or their tablet, or even their computer. And they spend all their time reading what other people have done, seeing what's going on with the other people, listening to other people talk about crap. They have no friends. They don't have, and then most of them don't have any close friends if they have any friends. They have acquaintances. Oh, yeah. Flintstone 3 is a good friend of mine. I met him on a game, and we talk every night. That's a friend? This is, you know, if I was 20 years younger, I would write a dissertation on this, on the whole thing about what's happening in the United States and what's happening with the attention span of people. Not just, and I'm not just talking children. I'm talking adults. And I could write a whole, I could write thousands and thousands and thousands of words breaking down exactly how the destruction of the emotional stability of the children has created this group now we call millennials, and the psychosis that surrounds them and all the people that control them. This is all liberalism. This is all communism, socialism, progressive. This is all this psychosis. And then I got a little clip here, just a little 4-minute clip, talking about what's happening in the United States concerning socialism.
Socialism is taking over the Democratic Party of the United States, and it's not doing it in secret. Bernie Sanders is an avowed socialist. He honeymooned in the Soviet Union, he ran in a successful campaign to become a senator from Vermont, and he ran an extremely popular campaign for the Democratic Party's presidential nomination. Millions have responded to his call to break up big corporations, double the minimum wage, and grant every American free health care. So while Bernie Sanders may have lost the Democratic nomination, he has certainly won the Democratic Party. 57% of Democrats now say they have a favorable view of socialism. That's right. More than half of Democrats openly admit they support socialism. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is another self-described socialist who won a sensational upset against a high-ranking Democrat. According to Democratic National Committee Chairman Tom Perez, she is the future of the Democratic Party. So what is socialism? In its purest form, socialism means government control of the entire economy. The government controls not only the post office, but all businesses with no competition. Most modern American socialists say the government doesn't have to literally own all businesses so long as it heavily regulates and taxes them. But people like Senator Sanders emphasize that they are democratic socialists, which means that this enormously powerful government will be voted in by a majority of the people. Karl Marx was the father of communism. He wrote that the first step in the revolution by the working class is to raise up the proletariat to the position of ruling class to win the battle of democracy. Vladimir Lenin was a famous Russian communist revolutionary. He wrote that proletarian democracy is a million times more democratic than any bourgeois democracy. And Joseph Stalin was a famous Soviet communist dictator. He led an effort to replace the original democratic Soviet constitution with an even more democratic version. Its Bill of Rights was even more extensive than the American Bill of Rights. It guaranteed the right to vote to every Soviet citizen over age 18. All of this Soviet socialism was very democratic. American liberals would support it, and in fact did support it back in the 1920s and 30s. Yet history shows us that the ideology of Marx, Lenin, and Stalin ended up as a nightmare that murdered millions of people. All of these murders happened not because these victims lacked voting rights. These murders happened because the Soviet Union lacked laws and political structures to limit the power of the government and protect individual rights. What Karl Marx called the dictatorship of the proletariat, American founding father John Adams called the tyranny of the majority. Adams believed in the Bible, and although he might not have known it, the Bible shows that the modern-day descendants of ancient Israel include the United States. Isaiah prophesied that these modern Israelites will become sick in their reasoning and faint in their hearts. Prophesied that their nations will be laid desolate by civil war. So how can a prophecy like this be fulfilled? How can one of the most powerful nations in world history fall to such a dreadful fate? One of the big reasons has to do with disagreements and division over the concept of government. At its root, socialism is a big government ideology that runs directly contrary to the Constitution's small and limited government ideology. Socialism is largely based on atheism, and the Constitution is largely based on the Bible. Today, socialism is gathering strength. What people don't understand about democratic socialism is that the aim of all socialism in the United States is to overthrow its constitutional form of government by violence if necessary. Socialists usually downplay this, but the riots and protesting taking place across America today aren't actually against President Donald Trump. They're against the constitutional system of government he leads. How widespread will this rioting and violence get? The history of socialism and Bible prophecy both tell us the chilling answer.
All right, I want to do a little sideline here. We'll just call this a commercial, okay? At Survival Enterprises, we have various different types of products. They're very specialized. We don't sell the same stuff everybody else does. It's like my show. I don't talk about the same stuff everybody else does. If I do, it's an accident. Because why? Everybody else does. So if everybody else sells something, I'm not going to waste my time with it. I'll just send you where everybody else is. Being a radio host, and I've done this for 20 years, you can't afford to have your throat go. You can't afford to lose your voice. It happens, but it takes a lot to have it happen, I can tell you that. There was a couple years back, we had so many forest fires in this area, the smoke was so prevalent that you had to wear a mask. And it was irritating your throat so bad that a cough started. And people would have this cough for months. Well, I started doing some research because I ended up with it. I started doing some research to find the best thing that I could find to handle a cough. I remember as a kid with the Vicks 44 formula. Yeah, that was great stuff. It's a little strong, and they banned it after a few years. But I did find something, and I'll tell you how powerful this stuff is. It's called Planetary Herbals. It's from that company. Old Indian Wild Cherry Bark Syrup with Echinacea. Now, I'll tell you how powerful this is. Vincent Finelli, a friend of mine, has a show, USA Prepares. And I was talking to him, and he was coughing, and his voice sounded bad. And I said, Vinny, what's going on, man? He goes, I got this cough. It's kind of bad, but I'll be okay. So I didn't think anything of it. And then 2 weeks later, I call him back up, and his wife says, he can't talk to you. He's convalescing. That cough got so bad that he actually tore his stomach lining. I said, that's enough. I got to figure out what we can do. And I'm talking about us radio hosts. That's when I discovered this Old Indian Wild Cherry Bark Syrup. This is not lightweight stuff. This little bottle is not so little. It's only 8 ounces, but I swear you could probably beat a wolf to death with one of these bottles that's so heavy. This syrup, now of course it has instructions, right? So it says 2 teaspoons is a serving, right? I just chug it. Just a little shot, just a little, that's my dose, right? And that just, I'm not kidding. When you take a sip of this stuff, you know it's real. This is not any of this thiedy, weedy, oh, it's so sweet, I can't stand it. No, this is meat and potatoes cough syrup. Let me tell you what's in it. You're going to love this. Let me get my special glass out here. Yerba, Santa leaf, Lovage root, Alum campaign root, and flower, Grindella bud, Echinacea, black cherry bark, Horehound leaf, Hyssop, Platycondon root, Marshmallow root, Apricot seed, Mullein leaf, Licorice seed, Stinging nettle, White pine bark, Angelica root, Loquat leaf. This stuff is potent. On the other ingredients, there's honey, it's 25% grain alcohol, and purified water. People are taking this just as a daily supplement. I wouldn't do that. It's too expensive for that. But it's $15 for 8 ounces. I take a tablespoon. And I tell most people, take a tablespoon. But I sent this to Vinny. He was arguing with me. And he still had this little... He's just... Even after all of that, I said, look... Give me your address. I'm sending this to you. Don't give me any argument. I sent it to him. The day he got it, he calls me up and he was astounded. He goes, my cough's gone. It's gone. He could not believe it. He had me on the show that week and embarrassed the hell out of me, telling me how I saved his life. And I Come on, man. I didn't save your life. I just stopped the cough. But this is old Indian wild cherry bark syrup. It's $15. Of course, then you got to pay with shipping. Unless you just happen to take a little drive to Hayden, Idaho, up on Government Way. And don't give me any BS about what? You're on Government Way? Yeah, I'm on Government Way. That's what all I wanted to talk about. Planetary Herbals Old Indian Wild Cherry Bark Syrup. And I'll do one of these little commercials each show on a different product of ours. So a week or so ago, Trump got tired of listening to Elijah Cummings. He's that black racist that threatens with impeachment all the time, Trump and all of this. And he's telling him how Trump is the racist and all of this garbage. And Trump said, you know what, look, your place is well known. Baltimore is well known. It's a rat trap. It's degraded. It's disgusting. And, of course, all the Democrats now instantly said he's a racist. Well, it's got nothing to do with that because I played last week recordings of blacks, the black mayor saying the place is smells like dead creatures. Look at the rats and all of that. And where Elijah Cummings comes out and says the place is disgusting. So that's all hogwash. But I'll tell you what Trump did. His administration actually did an investigation. The federal government gave them billions of dollars last year. And the money was supposed to go and help the people there. Well, it's like this. Millions of those dollars have just poofed. They have no idea where they are. When a government gives you money, I don't care if it's FEMA that gives it to you, if it's Department of Homeland Security, if it's the Food and Drug Administration, or if it's just plain federal government, HUD, you're supposed to be able to keep track of every penny you spent. Because this is a city that's run by blacks, mostly blacks in it, controlled by blacks, then they feel that they're so empowered that they do anything they want. And they have. And they've absconded with millions of those dollars. And Baltimore still is a rat trap. As a matter of fact, one of Trump's supporters, obviously a Republican and a conservative, said, look, we need to clean up Baltimore. I live in Baltimore, so we're going to all get together and we're going to start cleaning it up. We're going to clean it up. So we're going to take a little bit of this area here and we're going to clean it up. So he goes in there and he takes some other people with him and they start cleaning the area up. They're about three quarters white. I mean, I don't mean there's three quarters of the people doing this are white people because the blacks are the ones that made the place a pigsty. They just throw crap around. They don't care. Well, the city comes out and they're complaining about them because they said, well, you just piled the garbage on the sidewalk. Well, yes, because you wouldn't give them a permit for dumpsters. And as a matter of fact, the abandoned buildings where all the illegal dumping happens is owned by the city. So the city just flat doesn't care. This is another one of those plantations where they're forced to stay. This is disgusting. And it's more and more like that. I have traveled all throughout the United States. This would sound cliche, but there are certain type of people, and I'm not talking color. I'm talking mental attitude, where they're slobs. They're pigs. They're garbage hounds. They could care less. These are the people that they have garbage in their house and they just pile it in the corner until somebody comes in and says, "What's that smell?" I grew up very poor. And I was so young, I don't even remember how this happened, but we were very poor. And then all of a sudden, we were rich. And that lasted for about 2 years. And then we were poor again. I, to this day, don't know. My mother never told me about it. My father never explained it to me. But during that poor time, we had to live in San Mateo, California. And we lived in a house that we got very cheap because the last tenants were pigs. The house was loaded with garbage. And the landlord let us have it for almost nothing if we cleaned it up. So it took us almost a month to clean all the garbage and crap out of the house. And that house, I ended up getting the plague, bubonic plague in it. That's a whole different story. But what the problem was that all the people around us were the same way as the original tenants. They were pigs. There was garbage piled on lawns. There was garbage pickup every week. You were allowed two of those old tin cans, and they'd come and pick them up. But these people never put the tin cans out. This is all over that area. There were blacks, there were whites, there were Mexicans. They were all pigs. So it's difficult to say, oh, it's all the blacks are pigs, or all the white are pigs, or all the Mexicans are. You can't. In some areas you can, but unfortunately in Baltimore it's the majority of blacks, and they do what they're taught to do, which is not give a damn, because they get their livelihood for free. They get free housing, free food, enough money to buy things they want, whether it's drugs or clothes. I don't know. I don't care. But the problem is, when you get something for nothing, that's what it's worth to you. You've heard the saying, you get what you pay for. Well, if you get something for nothing, you're not paying for it. And that's what it's worth to you. So you have no respect for it. And that's Baltimore. And you know, some years back, we did a experiment. We had a map of the United States, and we made overlays. Well, that's at Stanford University did this. This was not the university. This was a bunch of students in there that did it. That it didn't go anywhere, because Stanford is very liberal. So they have a map of the United States, and over that they laid an overlay. And they highlighted the areas of high crime, and then they put another overlay and highlighted the areas of high welfare, and they put another overlay there of Democrats, controlled by, like mayors or governors, things like that. And they all lined up. They were all the same cities. Where you have high crime, you have Democrats in charge. Where you have high drug use, you also have high gun control. It's where you have high welfare, you have Democrats in charge, always, in every city. It's, you know, I keep thinking to myself, maybe I'll live long enough that people start putting two and two together. Maybe not. I don't know. Well, let's see now. We're under Trump, by the way, the category Trump. And we have this speaking of pigs, we have this gentleman named Nadler. If you've ever seen him on TV, he is a caricature of a human. It doesn't even really look like a human. He is a, both physically and spiritually, a very ugly person. He's the head of the House Judiciary Committee. He's the chairman. House Judiciary Committee. And he's already come out. Now, the Democrats have been having this fishing episode since before Trump was elected. They're looking for any reason at all that they can convince the American public that Trump needs to be impeached. Well, they can't find anything, because everything they dreamed up has been slapped down for either lack of proof or proof that shows otherwise. So he was interviewed just a few days ago, and he basically said that our whole job is to investigate how we're going to go forward with impeachment on this president. They have no crimes at all. But what they're proceeding with now are formal impeachment activations. This is insane. This is exactly the way communists take over countries. And we had an interesting thing happen this week. One of the main shareholders of Equinox, it's a credit reporting agency, and SoulCycle, and the Miami Dolphins. He's a main shareholder. Decided to have a fundraiser for Trump. Well, instantly, that targeted all the millennials and the communists in the United States. They started yelling and screaming at him, threatening him, telling him he's evil and nasty, and don't you know that Trump's a racist and a hate monger, and the typical lies, the typical standard lies. And they threatened to close him down, these people are threatening to cancel all their memberships with the clubs. The guy's name is Stephen Ross. He's a real estate developer. And, well, he just ignored him. Okay? Yeah, nothing came of it. The elites get out there and bitch and whine about how anybody, they want everyone to be tolerant, and they want freedom of speech for themselves. But they do not want freedom of speech for anyone who disagrees with them, because that's just not fair. They're so entitled that they truly think that everyone should think exactly like they do. Oh, and Michael Moore, this is the guy that was the blueprint for Jabba the Hutt. He came out and said he's going to cancel his gym membership over the fundraiser for Trump. Gym membership. You get it? It's a joke. It's his. He cannot even spell gym, much less ever have been there. The thing that gets me is this thing, little tiny thing. It's called truth. Truth is something that stares you in the face, and all scientific actions to dispel it come to no avail. Meaning, something is true, it's true. You can't fake it. If I take a shotgun, put it to your head, and pull the trigger, you're going to lose the majority of your brain, which means you're going to die. That's a truth. I don't need somebody to say, oh, but I don't agree with that, so it's not going to happen to me. That doesn't work, because that's a violation of the truth. I have a link to President Donald J. Trump's accomplishments. So far, I'm not going to read them all, I'd be crazy. Break it up into sections: government, economy, national security. He's the first sitting president to enter North Korea. He's the first president to give a damn enough to sign a measure to help prevent veteran suicides. He signed major conservation bills into law. Oh, there's a list here. He signed the $867 billion bipartisan farm bill with welfare reform requirements. And in that farm bill, it became legal in all 50 states to grow hemp. First time since 1931, 32. He has signed so many bills. And then the economy, I mean, come on. It's a record 157,000 people employed in the United States. This is the best economic optimism in 16 years. Almost 500,000 manufacturing jobs have been added since he took over. Job openings in the United States outnumber the unemployed by 1 million. The unemployment rate falls to the lowest level in nearly 50 years. There's more and more and more and more things. Just so many different things here. So this is when the Democrats or the communists or the socialists or the progressives or whatever the hell they're called when they look at things like this, they turn it around to suit themselves. And I told you the story of the, and I'm going to tell it to you again, because this is a story that everybody should know and pass on. There was a Republican and a Democrat sitting in a rowboat about 100 feet off the shore fishing. The Democrat looks down and picks up the bait can and goes, oh, there's nothing left in here. He hands the bait can to the Republican and tells him, it's your turn. Go get the bait. So the Republican takes the can, stands up, looks around. Nobody around, so he steps on the water and he walks on the water all the way to the shore. Kicks over some rocks, digs around, finds some grubs and worms, puts them in the can, looks around again. There's nobody there. Walks on the water all the way back. Gets in the boat and they proceed to fish. Unbeknownst to him, there was a reporter for CNN hiding behind the sand dunes. The next day, ABC, CBS, NBC, CNBC, MSNBC, all of the liberal media comes out. Republicans can't swim. So this is what they do. They take the truth and they pervert it. They warp it. They twist it. And the sad thing is that these people that vote for them believe what they say. And this brings me to something called The Big Lie by a guy named Joseph Goebbels. He was a propaganda expert for the Nazis during World War II. And this is what he said. If you tell a lie big enough and keep repeating it, people will eventually come to believe it. The lie can be maintained only for such time as the state can shield the people from the political, economic, and/or military consequences of the lie. Let me read that to you again. If you tell a lie big enough and keep repeating it, people will eventually come to believe it. The lie can be maintained only for such time as a state can shield the people from the political, economic, and/or military consequences of the lie. That right there is why the deep state and the entrenched politicians on both sides of the aisle hate Trump, because he is changing the whole definition of what's happening, and he's changing the truth from this lie back to reality. In other words, with him there, they can't keep saying the lie. They can't keep saying, all of you blacks in the welfare housings, we're all here to help you, and we're going to keep helping you. That's because the whites hate you. That's a lie, and it always has been. And Trump is proving it. And Goebbels continues on. It thus becomes vitally important for the state to use all of its powers to repress dissent, for the truth is the mortal enemy of the lie, and thus by extension, the truth is the greatest enemy of the state. And that's why people like me are attacked, because we spread the truth. The truth is a mortal enemy of the lie. And the truth is the greatest enemy of the state. So when you speak the truth, you are a danger to the deep state. When Trump speaks the truth, he's a danger to all of the politicians that have been lying for a century. Well, let's see. Now we're going into a corollary of this, a government threat. Now, this is a list. This is a category that basically, because governments are a threat to their population, and I'm not just talking about the federal government. I'm talking about governments throughout the world. When governments do something that's going to harm their citizens, I'm going to report it. And I do get certain information and data that other people just don't get for weeks. A lot of it is irrelevant. A lot of it is superfluous and a waste of all of our time. But some of it's not. There's a story, there's history on in India. India's right next door to Pakistan. India's Hindu, Pakistan's Muslim. And there was a little area. And I'm not going to get into it hard. I'm just going to get into it lightly. Little area called Kashmir. There's other names to it. There's other parts to it. And what was happening, and this you don't find all over the internet. You have to really do your research. Muslims, which basically want to rule and control the whole world, started going into India hundreds of years ago. Now, they couldn't invade India because of the sheer numbers of people there and Indian military. So they would do it by immigration. And then the Muslims do what they normally do. They started killing, raping, creating terrorism. So the Indian government said, all of you out. You will go to Kashmir and you will live there. Now, again, I'm making this long story short. And we will keep our people from moving there. And you, in turn, will not be moving here. And you stop doing your screwing around with us. Well, that worked for a while. But Pakistan is an exporter of terrorism because they're Muslim. And all terrorists are Muslim. So Kashmir's been doing nasty things in India, blowing people up, killing people, rape, rob, blah, blah, blah. India just stripped their Kashmir of special status. Now, what that means is they no longer have protection of the Indian government. They no longer have economic protection. They no longer have any respect in any way, shape, or form as an independent country. Now, both Pakistan and India have been massing their armies along the borders. This is a high possibility and high probability that that could lead to war. Anybody who thinks that they're going to take a trip down into that area of the world, please wake the hell up and don't go. Now, I got some information from Australia. Now, this already happened in the United States. And in Australia, the government there wants to ban cash. The International Monetary Fund, which pretty much controls all the banks in the world, has decided that they need a cashless society so that everybody pays their fair share of taxes. And so there's no longer what they call a black economy or a gray economy or whatever underground economy, whatever words you want to use. So it's like if I go to a flea market and a guy's got something for $20 and I buy it from him, they don't like that because I didn't pay sales tax on it. And they don't know that I own it. Do you know here in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, they have something called a use tax. No, it's not what you think. I was a master gunsmith for 25 years and I had a big gun shop over on a Celtis here in Coeur d'Alene. And one year, I got this letter in the mail saying, we need you to pay your use tax. So you figure out all of your private property that you use in the business. And I'm like, what? Yeah, you figure out your private property and you write it down, your value, what you think the value is of all of your private property in your business, and send that to us, and we'll send you how much tax you owe us. I'm like, somebody's out of their mind. So I called up the city and I said, what the hell is this? Oh, this was put in during World War II so we could have a little bit extra funds to run the city during World War II. I said, I don't know if anybody's told you this, but the war's over. They said, yeah, but we left it in. I said, well, I don't care. I'm not going to play this game. And she said, well, you have to do it. It's legal. You have to blah, 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 blah. And I just thought, I'm sorry, this is insane. How dare you? I bought this stuff years ago. My shelving. They wanted me to tell them how much my shelving was worth. I said, I bought this 20 years ago. Why the hell would I tell you how much it's worth? Because to me, it's worth a nickel. And she goes, well, put that down then. So just for the hell of it, I did it. I went ahead and did all this stuff, and I sent it to him. And I got a letter back saying, you owe us $1.37. So I sent him a check for $1.37 and a note that says, don't ever bother me with this again. And they haven't. And that was 20 years ago. But a lot of cities play that game. A lot of cities have that. And the problem is, if you have a black or gray or underground economy where people pay cash, well, then the government doesn't know what you own. They don't know what you buy. In the United States, they decided to start cracking down on it. They started cracking down. First, they banned they didn't ban anything. They just stopped printing $1,000 bills. You know, if you go to a gun show or a coin store or coin show, you can still find a $1,000 bill there. It's worth $1,000 and maybe $1,001. You can't use it, but it's you can find them. So they just stopped printing them. The private banking organization called the Federal Reserve, they stopped printing $1,000 bills. Then they stopped printing $500 bills. And then they tried to stop printing $100 bills. Because think about it. You know, let's say I want to buy a car. A car's going to cost me $20,000. Sure as hell wouldn't want to pay for it in $20 bills. So they tried to stop $100 bills, but that got so much noise, they changed their mind. But this is what's going on in the United States. They want everybody to go from, and the millennials are doing it. They literally don't have the intelligence to understand ramifications of their actions, because nothing in the future makes any sense or difference to them. Now, of course, I'm talking in a generality, but this is pretty much what they act like, is that there's no future. It's now, 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 now. And that's all they see, and that's all they do. So they don't care that it's against the law. Now it is. It's against the law in the United States to have over $10,000 in cash. Period. You can have it in the bank, but you're not allowed to have it at home or in your pocket, in your car. Because after all, the only people who would have that much cash are drug dealers. So the government, the agencies, the law enforcement agencies throughout the United States will steal your money. No ifs, ands, or buts. They will take it. If you're caught with, even over $2,000 in cash, depends on the officer's mood, he'll steal it. He'll take it. And then you have to fight in court to get your money back. And if you deposit or withdraw about $3,000 to $10,000 in cash, they will fill out a statement. It sets up a red flag for the IRS. Like if I walked in with $10,000 in cash and deposited in my bank, I've had an account there for 20 years, they'll send up a red flag to the IRS. Because remember, only a criminal would have that much money in cash. Now, Australia is going the same way. Now, it's not, the thing is, it's not just $10,000. It's up to the discretion of the banker, starting at about $2,500. So moving cash in or out of a bank is now dangerous, and they want to do it. They want to do away with all of it. I mean, come on, use common sense. Here's this card. Here's your debit card. Why would you want to carry cash? I think it's funny when people come in here and they look at a $1.50 item and they give me their debit card. I said, no, $10 minimum. $1.50 item. Can you believe that? And these millennials will go into McDonald's and they'll get their $4 something or other and they'll use their debit card. And it's not just millennials. This is a form of desensitizing the whole nation. Because everybody's doing it. I get people all day long come in the store. They're going to buy something for a few dollars and they whip out a card. Like, come on, don't you have any cash? I love it when this girl came in last week. She has her cell phone and she's going to buy something. And there's a little pouch on the back of her car or her cell phone, and in it is her driver's license and a card, a credit card. She goes, I don't carry a purse anymore. I just carry this. Australia, they're starting right now. They want to limit your cash transactions to no more than $10,000. Now, understand this, those of you who are listening to me in that area, that's just the start. Any politician that says this, that's it, we're not going to do anymore, is a liar. So that's what's going to be happening in that area, in Australia. It's already happening in the United States, and they want complete do away with all cash. All right, I want to talk a little bit about fire suppression, or fire extinguishers. This is the part of the show where I give you some information that can possibly save your life. And most of you know what fire extinguishers are. You've seen them at Costco. You've seen them at Walmart, someplace else. But most of you have never had to use them before. I've had to use them before. And if I didn't have a fire extinguisher, there would have been, one time there was a fire alongside a freeway as we were traveling. And if I didn't have a fire extinguisher, it would have burned down the whole field. Other times I was in a house and there was a stove fire. And if we didn't have a fire extinguisher, it would have caught our whole house on fire. I have saved lives with fire extinguishers. There's many different types. I'm going to have a training film that I've edited for you that's going to explain a bunch about fire extinguishers. And then afterwards, I'll talk a little bit. So here goes.
Fire is a deadly destructive force. Fire-related property loss last year alone was estimated at $11 billion. The best way for the average person to be safe from fire is to prevent it from happening in the first place. However, in certain situations, a fire extinguisher can help you limit the damage a fire might cause by putting it out before it has a chance to grow out of control. Fire extinguishers are your first defense against fire. Let's talk about fire itself. You can think of fire as a three-part chemical reaction or a triangle. The base of the triangle is fuel. Fires need some material to burn. One side of the triangle is heat. All fire is hot. The other side of the triangle is oxygen. Without oxygen, fire goes out. Fire extinguishers put fires out by taking one of the three parts out of the mix and interrupting the chemical reaction. Fire is very fast. In only 30 seconds, a small fire can grow completely out of control and engulf a room. Room temperature in a fire can be 100 degrees at the floor and up to 600 degrees at eye level. The best way to survive a fire is to have working smoke alarms and a quick, safe escape route. Knowing when and how to use a fire extinguisher is a matter of life and death. If you choose the wrong extinguisher or use it in the wrong circumstances, you could make a small fire worse, and you could be injured or even killed. No two fires are just alike. Fires burn, spread, and are extinguished depending on what is burning. Fires are separated into classes depending on what is burning. And fire extinguishers are designed to put out only a certain class or classes of fire. The classes of fire are A, B, C, D, and K. Class A fires are those in materials like wood, paper, trash, cloth, and other ordinary combustibles. These fires can be extinguished by either air-pressured water or dry chemical extinguishers. Class A extinguishers are labeled with the letter A inside a triangle and/or a picture of burning trash. Class B fires are fires of flammable liquids like oil, grease, gasoline, kerosene, and acetone. Using water on a Class B fire can spread the fire to a larger area, causing more damage or even injury. Class B fires can be extinguished by either dry chemical extinguishers or carbon dioxide extinguishers. Class B extinguishers are labeled with the letter B inside a square and/or a picture of a burning gas can. Class C is the category for electrical fires, such as those in appliances or at electrical outlets. These fires can be extinguished by either dry chemical extinguishers or carbon dioxide extinguishers. Class C extinguishers are labeled with the letter C inside a circle and/or a picture of a burning electrical plug. Most homes are best protected by multi-purpose fire extinguishers. These extinguishers are called dry chemical extinguishers. Dry chemical extinguishers work by separating the fuel element of the fire from its oxygen supply. The agent inside the extinguisher coats the fuel with a thin layer of dust. It not only separates the fuel from the oxygen in the air, but it also interrupts the chemical reaction of fire. Multi-purpose dry chemical extinguishers are also called ABC extinguishers because they put out class A, B, and C fires. These extinguishers are safe for use on ordinary combustible fires, like furniture or papers, on fires of flammable liquids, like grease or nail polish remover, and on fires in electrical equipment. They are labeled with the A, B, and C emblems and/or the pictures associated with each type. In addition to the letter and picture symbols, fire extinguisher labels have numbers on them that tell the size of the fire the extinguisher can handle. The number with the letter A tells how much water or other extinguishing agent it holds. The number with the letter B tells approximately how many square feet of a flammable liquid fire the extinguisher will put out. The larger these two numbers are, the larger the fires they can be expected to put out. There is no number associated with the C on a label. The fourth class of fire is class D. These fires are those in combustible metals, such as magnesium, titanium, potassium, sodium, and others. Class D extinguishers are necessary in laboratories and industrial areas where these metals are found. The metals burn at extremely high temperatures and react violently with water, air, and certain chemicals. Class D extinguishers are labeled with the letter D inside a star. Class K fires are fires in restaurant kitchens. In recent years, the restaurant industry has begun to use vegetable oils in their deep fat fryers. Class K extinguishers were developed to deal with these hotter oil fires in restaurant settings. It's important to understand the classes of fires for two reasons. First, to make certain you purchase the type of extinguisher you're most likely to need. And second, to make certain before you try to put out a fire that you have the right fire extinguisher at hand. If you do not know for sure what is burning, do not even try to extinguish a fire. Exit immediately and call the fire department from a neighboring home or business. Fire extinguishers are great tools for limiting the damage a fire can do if they are used under the right conditions. If you think you can fight a fire safely, go ahead and give the extinguisher a try. Here's what has to happen. First, call the fire department at 911 or tell someone else to do it. If you are at work, pull a fire alarm too. Only try to fight a fire that is small and contained. If the fire is spreading, leave the area immediately. Also try to use an extinguisher that is easy to reach and in working order. That is, it is fully charged. Also make sure the extinguisher is large enough to put out the fire within 8 to 10 seconds. That's how long you'll have, because most extinguishers completely discharge their extinguishing agent in under 10 seconds. Most portable fire extinguishers are fairly straightforward to operate. But if you don't know how to use the extinguisher you have, the time of the fire is not the time to learn. Only attempt to use an extinguisher you are familiar with. Don't start fighting the fire until everyone else has left the area or is leaving. Before you try to fight a fire, position yourself between the fire and an easy-to-reach exit. The exit should be at your back as you face the fire. Don't hesitate to quit if conditions change. If smoke fills the room, drop the extinguisher. Get on your hands and knees. Cover your nose and mouth with your shirt and crawl to the exit. The indispensable key to fighting fires safely is knowing how to use the extinguisher. If you're not very comfortable with operating instructions, don't even try to use the extinguisher. Different extinguishers have slightly different operations, but they are similar. Here are a few simple steps that apply to most extinguishers. Just remember, PASS. P-A-S-S is a memory device for the four basic steps of fire extinguisher use. P, pull the pin. A pin or latch locks the operating lever. Pull the pin or latch to free the lever. Stand 6 to 8 feet away from the fire. A, aim the extinguisher's nozzle or hose low at the base of the fire. S, squeeze the lever that operates the extinguisher. The extinguishing agent will immediately begin to discharge. S, sweep from side to side. The fire seems to be going out. Move carefully toward it as you continue to sweep side to side. Even after the fire appears to be out, keep an eye on the site until the fire department arrives. Firefighters should examine the site of any fire to be certain that it is completely out. At home, you should have a fire extinguisher in the kitchen, the basement, the garage, and the workshop. Also, it's a good idea to have one near the bedrooms and the living room, especially if any smokers live in the home, or if you use wood stoves or space heaters for heat. In your home, install fire extinguishers 3 to 5 feet off the ground, where adults can easily see and reach them. Teach kids that extinguishers are not toys and are not to be touched. If you use a bracket to hang your extinguisher, make sure the bracket is easy to open. A stable shelf or alcove is a good location. Never hide your extinguishers in a closet or cupboard. Store all extinguishers away from heat sources. Install extinguishers near the exits and between any likely source of fire and the exit. If you work in an office or other low fire risk setting, fire extinguishers are installed much as they are at home. They should be placed in kitchens, near machinery, and in hallways. In most communities, workplace fire extinguishers are subject to regulation. Your local fire department will be happy to assist you in selecting and installing fire extinguishers in your workplace. Fire extinguishers are generally easy to maintain. Make sure any moving parts are dust and corrosion free. Check extinguishers monthly to see that they are charged and full. Most ABC extinguishers are disposable and must be discarded after use. If their gauges show empty, they must be replaced. Rechargeable units must be recharged if their gauges indicate low charge. Most of us hope that if we found a fire burning, we could save the day by putting it out. But putting out a fire is not as simple as it seems. Fire is a major killer. It is hotter, faster, and more uncontrollable than many people think. At the same time, a knowledgeable adult with a working fire extinguisher can put out some small, containable fires. In the case of a fire, evacuate the building, call the fire department, or have someone else call from a neighboring house or business, and then assess whether a small blaze can be put out with a fire extinguisher.
Okay, so that gave you some information on fire extinguishers and how to use them and what to use them for. There's all kinds of fire extinguishers, and the important thing is this: for your own safety, buy only a fire extinguisher with a gauge on it so that you can tell whether or not it's full of propellant. Propellant's the important part. And if, like, say you have a dry extinguisher, that dry extinguisher can be full of the powder, but if the propellant has leaked out, the seal's gotten bad or something, it'll say on that gauge. If that arrow, if the yellow arrow is not in the green, then you need to do something with that fire extinguisher. Most people just throw them away, but you don't need to. You can have them recharged. Let me give you a secret here. On dry fire extinguishers, what happens with the powder is that it packs down, especially if you put it in a car. You have people who have vehicles and they use a dry fire extinguisher because the dry fire extinguisher can put out gas fires or oil fires. But the problem is, it's like pancake batter or pancake powder. As you're driving, it's packing down. So what you do, and this is what the guy does, if he comes out and he charges you $10 for that fire extinguisher to reload it, all he does is turn it upside down and shake it. Or in some cases, take a big rubber mallet, turn it upside down, and beat on the bottom of it to break all the powder loose. All of a sudden, the thing's right back to perfect. I'm not telling you to take a sledgehammer or a metal hammer or a 2x4 or your head and beat on it. Now, this is only if it's a powder fire extinguisher. You turn it over and you shake it. Or you take a rubber mallet, you turn it over, and you bang on the bottom a bunch of times. It'll knock the powder loose, and now the thing's functioning. It can function again. I have one beside every door in my house. I have a dozen of them in the business. I've seen what fire does. I lived on the Klamath Reservation when my uncle's house burnt down. I've seen what happens. And it just takes a little flame. It's the smallest thing in the world. Learning how to use a fire extinguisher is easy. Most of you have the internet. You can always go on YouTube and just type in how to use a fire extinguisher. And look at that. There's 1,000 people telling you how to use a fire extinguisher. But the important is to make sure you have one for the type of fire that you're going to be addressing. Most people are in a home situation, which is going to be either a combustible ash fire, which is a class A, wood, paper, clothes, trash, plastic, this kind of crap, or an oil fire like grease from on your stove. So be careful what you buy, which ones you buy. Now, there's been recalls on many different fire extinguishers. Make sure you know what it is you're getting. And don't just buy one or two and call it quits. Remember what I said. I've got a fire extinguisher at every door, especially the outside. Now, here's the thing. And RVs, boy, you'd better have fire extinguishers. Fires, it's not going to start on you unless you smoke in bed. It's not going to start on you. So he's like, oh, look, my pants are on fire. I'll reach down here beside me and grab the fire extinguisher. No, it's going to be away from where you are. It's going to be in the front room. And your smoke alarm, which you better have, is going to go off. And you're going to be at the other end of the hallway. So you don't want the fire extinguisher in the front room. You want it where you can get to it. That's why I have numerous ones all over the place. And I check them. About every 6 months, I check them. And I have different ones. I have used, the powder ones, the dry powder ones, when you use those, it makes a mess. No ifs, ands, or buts. So if you're cooking a good steak and you get a grease fire, you don't reach for a dry fire extinguisher. It'll put the fire out, but then you're going to throw away your $6.99 a pound T-bone. So learn to understand the different types of fire extinguisher. Now you can go and you'll buy them at Costco, Walmart, any place that you go to. You will find fire extinguishers. Try and spend the money and get quality. Now, a good-sized fire extinguisher, not the little tiny ones that literally can fit in your back pocket, but the ones about 2 feet high, those only going to have about 15 seconds of spray. So the bigger you get, the longer you're going to have the ability to fight the fire. And in using a fire extinguisher, you don't aim at the flames. You literally aim at the base of the flames. Granted, you know, the flames, people see the flames, they go, oh, I got to spray the flames to get the fire. No, you spray the base where the combustion is occurring and you sweep. Man, he talked about pass. So remember that. That's real. You spray at the base slowly, side to side. Don't go fast. Don't get all up. Don't get all nervous and everything. Spray side to side and put the fire out. Don't try and knock it down a little bit. I've seen people fight fire with fire extinguishers and they spray, move the nozzle back and forth so fast. It's knocking the flames down a little bit, but as soon as the fire extinguisher goes out, flames come right back up. So you want to extinguish the fire by aiming it down. Everybody that lives in your house, you should teach them a little bit about fire extinguishers. Have them listen to the show or have them just go on YouTube and see what you can find about how to use a fire extinguisher. There's other things to think about besides a fire extinguisher. Think of reasons why you would have a fire and don't do that. One of the biggest reasons in the United States that fires occur in a home is because of overloaded electrical circuits. Let's give you an idea. My front room. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4 sockets. So I can, I'll plug four different things in. So I have the TV plugged in one of the sockets in a stereo. And then I have my wife's phone is charging on another. Then I have a fan plugged into another one. And then I turn the microwave on and click, circuit breaker goes off. I go, what the hell? And I go downstairs and it turns out that all of those sockets, including the microwave socket, is on the same circuit, which is only 15 watts. So you can overload fast. So what people do is they'll take one of those 2 foot long surge protectors you buy for $12.99 at Walmart that has six plugs on it. Plug it into a circuit, plug it into the wall, and then they plug all kinds of crap to it. And then in the middle of the night, they start smelling smoke. Remember Murphy's Law. If something can go wrong, it will go wrong. And that's the bad thing about fires is that if they can start, they will start. They have a life of their own. You've got to be careful of that. Be careful of not overloading a circuit. Be aware to not have so many things plugged into one socket. Because unless you know that one socket has its own circuit breaker. Some people just have no clue. They literally, this is missing in their whole makeup. They have no idea of what's going on in their house. They're renters. They don't care. Hell, I moved into an apartment in Los Angeles. And the first thing I did was find the circuit box and I opened it up and it was screw-in fuses and each one had a penny in the back of it. For those of you who don't know, that is how you start fires. Not penny, but the fact that the circuit, what it was, the screw-in fuses. Well, they had blown. And a trick to bypassing a blown fuse is to put a penny in the hole and screw the socket back in. So now you have a bypass. You no longer have a circuit breaker that can break or a fuse that can blow. You now have direct connection via the penny. So the next time somebody plugs in a hair dryer in the bathroom, a little heater in the hallway, and turns the TV on, you'll hear a and then the wall starts getting red. And you wonder what the hell's going on. Well, that's a fire back there. So there's things you just for God's sakes, pay attention. So get fire extinguishers. Familiarize yourself with the type that you need, for the specific area. Now, I'll tell you what I did. Years ago, we were at the dollar store. And you're not going to believe this, but we were at the dollar store, and there were Black & Decker Halon fire extinguishers there. These are the little tiny ones. They're maybe a one-pounder. I mean, they're a foot tall. But Halon is a extinguishing chemical that basically deletes the oxygen in a given area, so a fire can't exist. And they were a dollar a piece. I think I had 1,000 of them. So I bought them all. And then we went to the Reno Fair. It was the state fair, Nevada State Fair in Reno. And we got a booth there. And I was selling these Halon fire extinguishers. At the time, they were $30 a piece when you went and bought them at Home Depot. I was selling them for, what was it, $3 for $50. And we sold, on the Friday, I sold 500 of them. And that night, the FBI comes to me. I'm not kidding, a sheriff and the FBI, there's five guys. And they didn't pull their guns. They come and said, you can't sell those, they're illegal. I go, pardon me? What do you mean illegal? Well, Al Gore decided that we are too stupid to have Halon fire extinguishers because we just might spray one in our mouth and kill ourselves. Nobody's ever died from the use of Halon fire extinguishers, but you could. If you had enough fire extinguishers go off at one time that were Halon and you were in a closed space, it would eradicate all oxygen in that space and you would suffocate. So the Democrats, wishing to protect us from ourselves, banned Halon for civilian use. So I apologized, and he goes, you got any left? I go, well, no, I sold them all. He goes, okay, well, you just close down, you know, and you're fine. So we closed down. We didn't put any back up on the countertop, but the next 2 days, we sold the rest of them out from underneath the counter because the other vendors had heard about it, and they came and they bought everything we had left. Halon is the highest quality there is because you can spray it on cook. You can buy it in a commercial setting. Like there's a steakhouse in Roseville, California. They have a 20-foot-long gas grill. And every once in a while, there's a flame up. I mean, they're cooking like 20 1-pound, 2-pound, 3-pound steaks. And so much grease is flopping down into the gas, and it goes up into a giant flame. The cook reaches up, pulls a switch, and it gets a 1-second burst of Halon on the stove. Everything's out instantly, and there's no residue. That's the important part. There's no residue. Well, there are Halon-type extinguishers out there, and that's what I have. They're a little more expensive, but they don't leave a residue. Now, this is it for the show. I don't have any exiting music yet because I still haven't figured out how to use the damn mixer. But I appreciate everyone listening. Remember, Survival Enterprises, SE1.us. You can call us anytime, 800-753-1981. That's 800-753-1981. And we'll be happy to help you with whatever you need and explain to you why you need it. So you keep your nose in the air and your ear to the ground. And this is the Armchair Survivalist signing off till next time.